Thank you, my brother. And you do well if you keep your Bible in John Gospel, chapter 1. It is amazing that we are on February 1st today. And amazing enough, 1 month is gone from our calendar of 2009. I prepare the food for you monthly. In other words, I prepare a set of studies in the morning that will feed you in a correlation of 3 or 4 studies, and this month, 3 studies. And we're going to talk about God at work during this month. And today, we're going to talk especially God at work in salvation. If you keep your hand in John, and by the way, inside the bulletin, there is an outline of the sermon, and usually I put the page number where you find it, but these are easy texts to find. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 4, we know through this scripture that really God works. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 4. For he has spake in a certain place of a 7th day on this wise. And God did rest the 7th day from all his works. And you know that is a reference to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. So we know that God does work. Now, from John Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 29, we get to know one of his works. And next Sunday, I bring to you another of his works. And the Sunday that follow, another of his works. And the Sunday that follow, Brother Greg will speak on love. And then after, I will continue 2 Sundays on the issue of God at work. In John 6:29, the Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. By the way, the word work is the German unit in physics called ergo. All right? This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent you. So in John 6:29, we know that one of the works of God is salvation. Now, if we go to the passage in John 1 and in verse 29, that passage will reveal to you, and we can learn that, we discover there the means that God uses for his work of salvation. Look at it in John 1 and in verse 29. John the Baptist is speaking. Remember, he was the cousin. He was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that next day John sees Jesus coming unto him. And he did not say, hey, hi, cousin, how are you? He could, but he didn't. What did he say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Some people who do not know the Bible think, well, John the Baptist is wrong. Jesus was not a lamb. Jesus was a man. And they say, well, see, the Bible carry all kinds of mistakes. Now, the Bible doesn't say, behold, as the Lamb of God. Say the Lamb of God. But the Bible is not John 1:29 only. There are 66 books in the Bible. And when you read one text in the Bible, in order to understand that text in the whole area of the Bible, you need to look to the other texts that relate to that text to find out exactly what that means. So put one hand in John and go with me to Isaiah chapter here in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, the famous chapter of Isaiah, and you will find in verse 7 the clarification that John the Baptist is calling Jesus as the Lamb of God. Look at here. In Isaiah 53 and in verse 7, the scripture said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shear is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. See, here they said, as a lamb. See they here? As a lamb. And so, John 1:29 really reveals that Jesus, God, uses the expression, the Lamb of God, on the person of the Lord Jesus for the reason. And the means of salvation, the means whereby God works as salvation, is the Lamb. So it will be good for you and me to go at the very beginning of the Bible and see how that Lamb worked through the entire centuries until we arrive until today. This is what I call the progressive revelation of the scripture. The scriptures are there and reveal you how God is using one particular issue in every century, every 1,000 years, and how God is changing. So we're going to start where the Bible starts, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. We're going to study then God at work in salvation, and we're going to see his tool, the Lamb, as he mentioned. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 7, we have here the Lamb was offered for sin. We are in Genesis 4 right after man was kicked off from the Garden of Eden. Man had disobeyed God, went in violation of God's law, and he is dismissed from the fellowship of God. And somewhere, somehow, God killed for the first time and clothed Adam and Eve with garments. And so Adam and Eve have instructed their children about this issue, that God heals and the union with God is through the blood. And look at what happened in chapter 4 and in verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect, and Cain was very wrath, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrath? Why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so, the first episode of salvation, Abel, is done through the lamb. A lamb is slain as an offering. Cain brought the best of the best, the apples from Watsonville. I mean, have you had one of those? Green, it's juicy, melted, like mashed potatoes in your mouth. But was not good enough. Why? Because was the work of Cain's hand. Was the fruit of Cain's hand in a land that is already in sin. The earth having curse already. Anything the earth will produce is a curse. Even the best fruit of the earth is nothing to compare with the fruit of the earth before Genesis 3. And so, in the progressiveness of the revelation of the work of God in salvation, he tells us that the only tool that will be satisfying the justice of God is blood from the lamb. A lamb was offered for sin. I want you to go to Genesis 22. You are in Genesis there. You can move your Bible to Genesis 22. Most of you know Genesis 22 and Genesis 24. When I do wedding preparation for someone, I read Genesis 24 to show you how to get married. And remember, a daddy was looking for a girl, for the boy. And there, that the episode of Mary's relationship in a beautiful way. But verse, chapter 22 deals with the issue of sacrifice. And the teaching is the substitution work of God. Look with me. The lamb was offered in place of one person. I'm going to start reading from verse 6. You are very familiar with this passage. And Abraham took the wood of the offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. They were going up the hill. Now, the father told the son, we're going to do a sacrifice unto the Lord. The son was well instructed about it. So it's obvious, you know, children ask questions, all right? I remember when Jacqueline was little, the question, why, was on the tip of her tongue all the time. Children ask questions, all right? And so Isaac asked a question. Look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The child knew that a lamb was required for the offering. He said, where is it? Now look in verse 8. This is giant Abraham. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. And this is called in Hebrew the emphatic form of a verb. Himself, a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So don't worry about what we're going to do. If we are going to do a sacrifice to the offering of salvation, God has to provide that. But there was no there. Now, look at the incident from verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, because there was no other. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thick by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. This is called, in theology, the substitutionary work of God. God took his son in lieu of you and me. So in the progressive revelation of the work of God in salvation, we saw that blood is required for sin. Work of man is not required. Because man is tainted with sin, the earth is tainted with sin. So sin cannot enter into the kingdom of God, so you cannot offer. You cannot pull your $50,000 ring and said, this is in place of me for salvation. That is no good. It's no good. Even if it's $1 million ring, it's no good. Have you seen the magazines that these movie stars are heading on for the panorama of splendor and pride? The ring of one lady was $15 million. Amazing. That ring will not make it for salvation. See, it's tainted with sin. That diamond that came from the earth is cursed because God have cursed the earth. And so here is a dramatic revelation of God. The lamb was offered for sin, period. And now each individual, not the church saving the people, but each individual is saved by God individually. You know this? It's not that I can raise my hand and said, God save these people. I can't, because it has to be individual, it has to be under that blood individually, like Isaac was. Remarkable picture. Now let's go to the next book, book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The lamb was offered for one entire family. Look at here, Exodus chapter 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. The lamb was offered for one family. Remember, the lamb, the blood of the lamb is good, pay off sin. The blood of the lamb saved one individual at a time. Now is an entire family. Look at here, Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and saying, this month, Nisan, shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year, between March 15 to April 15. That's the first month of the year in the Hebrew calendar. And look at verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Do you see how wonderful it is? Sin can be covered by the blood of Christ. An individual can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now your family can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. You are saved by Christ. Now you cannot save your family. And I say this because many people, when I talk to them, especially on a Spanish background because of Roman Catholicism, they said, well, my parents were Christians, so I'm a Christian. Some others said, where I was baptized when I was 8 days old, and therefore I'm a Christian. But here is the need. Your family need the lamb. If you don't believe me, put one hand in Exodus and go with me to the book of Acts in the New Testament. And look, in chapter 16, you remember the experience. The apostle Paul and his disciple Silas are in jail. They are way in jail. An earthquake comes in. The doors are open. Nobody escapes. What a miracle. One of the elite soldiers of the Roman Empire knows that something is wrong. This is an extra force, the whole, every prisoner in there. And so he recognized the songs that Paul and Silas were doing. And in Acts 16, verse 30, the man goes into the jail with Paul and Silas are there. Acts 16, verse 30 reads in this way, and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be right with God, to be saved? Sir, what can I do to be just like you? What can I do? Oh boy. If the guy had money, you can say, well, give me $100,000 and I talk to God about you. But it was not that way. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. In other words, here is the way of heaven. The work of God is this. He saved you, and then the same work of God can save one by one each member of your family. So much that verse 33 said, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house. Why? Because verse 32 said, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. See, they don't just put the hand and say, be saved. They spoke the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord produces what class? Faith. Remember? Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when the word of God is explained, some people will reject it, which I expected, and others will believe. But it's always the same method. It is not in the hands of the church salvation. It is not in the hands of an individual. It is in the hands of God. And the lamb is the offering for the family. You, as a father, as a household, you should read the scripture to your children and point to them that they should come to God one by one and believe in the blood of Christ as the sacrifice they have pay for their sin, for their disobedience, for their inheritance of that damaged condition of our soul. We have been born with a damaged disease. It's called sin. And sin can only be cleaned, not by a doctor, not by a surgeon, but by the hand of God, believing in the blood of Calvary. You and your family. Now let's go to the book of the law. You know, I ask a question to all the students I used to have in family radio. What's the book of the law? It's the book of Leviticus, all right? Third book of the Bible. Let's go to the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, the third book of the Bible. And there you're going to find the lamb was offered for one entire nation. I think we needed ourselves more than ever. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Also on the 10th day of these 7 months, these are the laws for the nation of Israel, there shall be a day of atonement. You know what a day of atonement is? It's in America we have a day in which we celebrate the grace of God for Thursday on November. Is that right? And then you have the National Day of Prayer and things like that. Well, here's a day to say, God has saved us. Remember, Exodus 12 is a day of atonement. And God has saved us. And so verse 27 said, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you, plural, before the Lord your God. And so look at now in chapter 25, please, and on verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. So we know what day was on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. Shall ye make it the trumpet sound throughout all your land? You should just rejoice and say, today we celebrate salvation by God through the Lamb. Imagine President Obama coming in and said, this day we're going to stop working and we're going to go to church and thank the Lord for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus alone. That's what that means. If this nation is going to be saved, it's not by accepting other religions into, it's by proclaiming the blood of Christ alone. It is not by saying we are this way, well, we can survive and live with the others, but we have to tell the others that the only way is the blood of the Lamb. And that's what it is in Exodus. The Lamb was offered for the entire nation. If there will be redemption for this nation, is not the money market. It is not the printing of money. It is the conviction of the hearts of American people and the people who live in America that God is God and we are sinners and we need His favor. We need His Son to cleanse us from sin. That is the only way America can survive. Otherwise, is down the hill very fast. The Lamb was offered for a nation. Now, in Isaiah 53, if you move over there, the Lamb was offered for God's people. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. We have been there already. But I'm going to read for you verse 6 to 8. The Lamb was offered for God's people. Here is what the Bible says. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Lord God do not lay the sin on anybody else except on Christ Jesus. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. See, as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shear is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was striking. Now, that's another qualification. God said the Lamb of God was shed for God's people. Some people told me that's discrimination. Well, unless you don't know who are God's people. I was talking, you know, I had two friends in this town, very good friends. We argue day and night, but it's good friends. One is that I find out is the rabbi here in town, and the other is the high priest of the Arab Muslim here. I invite them to meet together, but they don't. They will fight if they see each other. But with me, it's okay. Yeah, I'm Spanish. I'm nothing to them. And so it's good. Now, here is a condition. I ask them, are you God's people? And they ask good questions. One of the questions is, who are God's people? That's a good question. I told them, I can see the little intelligence went into Arabia, you know. And so they get really excited. Let's go to Matthew. The Bible answers who are God's people. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew 1:21 and John 10:4 will tell you who are God's people. When Jesus was born, the angel told Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Well, who are they? John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 4. I love how the Bible explains things. John 10, 4. John 10 is about Jesus as a shepherd. Verse 3 talks about the porter open. And the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by the name and lead them out. And look at verse 4. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. What? For they know his voice. It's very difficult for Americans to learn this. The American shepherd, and I took 1 week as a shepherd here in the mountains. What a tough job it is. The American shepherd goes behind the sheep, and they whistle, the linemen. The linemen are two big, giant German shepherds. And the German shepherd will bark. The sheep will never will come in. You have to go and get it up and put it in and go. I mean, it's a tough job when you're in the mountain. But the Hebrew shepherd, he goes ahead, and he plays the flute. And as he played the flute, every sheep follow. And when the sheep goes a little away, he plays the flute. And the sheep comes in. He hear only one noise. He trained those sheep to hear one noise. I saw it one night for 4 hours, the guy playing the flute to these sheep. So what an audience, you know. Imagine yourself playing the flute to the sheep, you know. But boy, in the morning when he goes, he has no worries about it. He lost no one. They all follow. And the dogs are way in the back rather than in the front just to push them up. You see what I'm saying? God's people are those who hear his voice and follow him. I know those who say, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist. No, God's people are those who hear his voice. And the voice of God is here. It's not on the roof or anything like that. The voice of God is here in the Bible. They hear his voice and they follow him. So the lamb was offered for God's people. John 1:29, the lamb was offered with unlimited condition. Unlimited condition. The next day, John the Baptist see Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of," let me tell you the Greek word, cosmos, almost used in America. Cosmos is more than the world. Include the stars from the moon all the way down to the center of the earth and passing and going. The whole universal system. The whole universal system. And so for this world to be redeemed, for this world to really be changed, Al Gore is all wrong. He thinks we all have to become green. No, I'm not green. I'm coffee and milk. I'm brown. We don't have to become green. We have to become saved. And this world needs to be redone. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 8. And look here in verse 22 and in verse 23. What I'm saying is true. We do not need Al Gore. We need the Lord to come for the new world to be saved. For we know, said Romans 8:22, that the whole creation groaneth and travail in pain together until now. The whole creation is crying. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. We are waiting for that Lord to come, so sin can no longer have dominion over us. We are waiting for the Lord to come, so that there will be no more weeds, and the wheeler will have less work. Then, the Lamb was offered for the entire cosmos. The whole system, universal system, from the sun down, will be completely done new, according to Revelation 21. New. And there will be no problems, because there will be no sin. Now, if you go to 1 Peter, almost at the end of your Bible, in chapter 1, the Lamb was offered for all history. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. Redeemed means you were bought back to God, not with money, not with the acts of man, not with the words of Cain. No. How did God brought us together? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. Here's the blood of Cain again on the table. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. You see what I'm seeing? It is a remarkable, progressive statement of the Bible that emphasizes that we are the only one who have the right information. The Lamb was offered for the entire history. From Cain until now, there is only one solution for our sin problem, the blood of the Lamb. Because there's only one way that God works in you, the blood of the Lamb. That's the only thing. So then, I have some questions. Can you save yourself? Can you say, I do good works and I'm a person of honesty and integrity and I do no doubt about it? I'm not questioning your integrity. I'm not questioning your personality. But can these work for salvation? The Bible says no, you need the blood of the Lamb. Can your family background save you? Can you say my grandma was a Christian? And she was a good one. And I had no doubt that she was, like I did. But my grandma told me, even when I was 17, she died when I was 17 and a half, she said, you rascal need to go to Christ. You need Christ. But I had a grandma who was a Christian. Doesn't work. Can your nation citizenship save you? I have a lot of experience in 38 years and more years. And I tell you, one time one man pulled out of his pocket a certificate of baptism signed by John Paul and said, see, I'm going to heaven. I wanted to break it, but I thought they were... this little paper tells you go to heaven. Who knows how many thousands of dollars have been donated by getting this little paper. Don't be a fool. From Cain until now, we saw in the scripture, is the blood of the Lamb. Could there be a possibility of a hope of another Savior? Do we remember the question Jesus said, where do you go? And Peter said, to whom should we go? You have words of everlasting life. To whom should we go? My friend, the work of God is clear. He worked through the blood of the Lamb. Can you avoid it? And the best conclusion is in Acts chapter 4. About four verses, but I'm only going to mention only two from my Hebrew Bible, from my Hebrew professor. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, the discussion of Peter with the leader is there, and he said, and you all the leaders, are you questioning us about a good thing that was done to a crippled man? Are you asking us, who made him well? Remember, Peter and John have healed a man who was born sick. And they said, why you do this? Who did this? They want to put the whole scenario in an orthodoxy way to understand it. He said, are you questioning us who made that man well? Look at verse 12. Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save people. We must be saved through him. Raw material. As a Hebrew sound. As a Greek sound. We must be saved through him. My friend, if you're looking for God, you're in the right place. Because we talk about God. But if you personally want to understand God, you need to get this book. If you do not have one, just take it, free of charge, from the pew. Read it. And it's going to bring conviction in your life. And I'm not afraid of what you read. The Roman Catholic Church is afraid that people will read the Bible and misunderstood the Bible. No, sir, because the teacher of the Bible is John 14:26. The Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that taught Peter is the Holy Spirit that teaches you. And I'm not afraid when you read the Bible. You maybe have questions that need coordination, but that's all. But you will find one thing, that the blood of the Lamb is required for salvation. Now you have a choice, believe it or not. May God help you and cause you to believe. Thank you, Father, for the work you have done in salvation. So perfect through the centuries. So perfect. So perfect. Bless us as we celebrate today in the Lord's Supper the work of the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone on solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease, my comforter, my all in all.
Call.